This is a HeadGum Original.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So much has happened since I last saw you. I lost my hammer, like yesterday, so that's still pretty fresh.
And then I went on a journey of self-discovery. Where I met you.
Where are we?
You have no idea.
Hello, the goddess of death has invaded Asgard.
Oh, I've missed this.
And you and I had a fight recently.
Did I win?
No, I won easily.
Doesn't sound right.
Well, it's true.
Asgard is dead. And it'll be reborn in my image. I thought you'd be glad to see me.
I need to stop her here and now.
To prevent Ragnarok, the end of everything.
So I'm putting together a team.
Like the old days.
Surprise! This will be such fun.
Hello.
Hi.
He's a fighter.
Here we go.
I'm not a queen or a monster. I'm the goddess of death. What were you the god of again?
We're the same, you and I. Just a couple of hot-headed fools.
Yeah, same. Hulk like fire, Thor like water.
Well, kind of both like fire.
But Hulk like raging fire, Thor like smoldering fire.
That's our official theme song. I'm Lauren Lapkus.
I'm Nicole Byer. And this season, we are covering the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This is the 13th episode of our fifth season. And we're going to have guests who are newcomers, super fans, and sometimes people who've contributed.
And we're going to do 20 episodes, which doesn't cover everything, but
sure
I think
doesn't.
It's covering a lot. Because it
I
feels
so
like
too.
We're seeing it all. And today we are discussing the third Thor film, Thor Ragnarok, and we skipped the second Thor movie, Thor the Dark World, for time and to make room for more origin stories down the line. And if you don't like that, then take it up with yourself, because we don't care.
We don't care. Who cares about second Thor? Thor 2?
We can't do everything.
Thor, no.
And Thor Ragnarok is available with a subscription on Disney Plus, and you can watch it for a fee on Amazon, Apple TV, Google Play, and Vudu. And obviously, we're going to spoil the entire film.
Okay, Lauren, quick thoughts before we intro our guest.
I actually liked it.
Lauren, I loved it.
Okay, and I thought, why are they not all like this?
Exactly.
Funny. and they're making fun of themselves.
Lots of color.
Lots of
color. I will say the first 35 minutes, I was like, what the fuck is this movie?
Yeah.
But then after like 36 minutes hit, and I said, ooh, baby. Ooh,
yeah.
I love it. It was really funny.
I feel like they were making fun of each other. Like, it was all stuff that I want to happen in the other movies. And everyone did say that this one was like the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were lying
because people really thought we were going to like that fucking Avengers movie.
I know.
And that was boo-boo for me.
Yeah.
But I loved this. I finished it and was like, maybe I'll watch it again. And then I was like, Nicole, settle down.
That's actually crazy. I didn't go that far at all. It took me a long time to watch it. I had to like, you know, get through it. In a way, but I still liked it.
I mean, it did take me two sittings because it was, what, 2 hours
and
20
minutes?
Yeah,
it's 2 hours
and 20 minutes.
It's long. And I, you know, it's hard because when Little People Big World returns, you want to watch that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like there's
Absolutely.
A whole new season of drama. And by the way, it's going down this season on Little People Big World. And
see,
if you're not watching,
I haven't been keeping up. I am watching 90 Day, and it is a snoozy season.
People are saying that. I haven't been watching it in a long time.
It's a real
I can't believe I fell off because it was my whole life. But LPBW, oh my God, they're having drama between the parents and the children. It's crazy.
Oh no.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, before we get too much into Little People Big World, we should introduce our guest today.
Yay.
It is Paul Scheer. And Paul Scheer, don't say hello yet. Paul Scheer is an actor. He's a writer. He's a director. You might have seen him on Veep, Black Monday, The League, and in Marvel's 616 documentary. He's also the host of a talk show on his Twitch channel, Friend Zone with Rob Hubel, and the podcast, How Did This Get Made? And Unspooled. Ooh, Paul Scheer, we can't wait to get into Thor Ragnarok with you today. Now you can talk.
Hello.
So happy to be here and so psyched that you like this movie because I do feel like this is a special Marvel movie. I do want to just... I know that your audience is with you on every one of these. I just want to get a little bit of where you are at. Can I just quickly thumbs up, thumbs down
yes.
on the ones that you've done? Because I want to get a taste of it. Because I talked to Jason and, you know, so, all right, you started off Iron Man. Thumbs up?
Boo.
I thought it was okay.
Iron Man 2.
It wasn't for me.
I'm going to say
even
thumbs
less.
Down.
I think
yeah.
I like that less. Yeah.
Me
yeah.
too. Okay. We're on the same page. Well, I liked yeah. Iron Man. Thor. Thumbs
Thor
down.
Was one of the worst
yeah,
things I've
bad.
Ever seen. Boo.
Dark World, by the way, you lucked out on missing Dark
okay.
World.
Oh.
I saw that in the theater. It was rough. Captain America First Avenger,
boo.
Serviceable.
Oh,
serviceable.
I liked it because of him.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like a simple movie.
I didn't like little him.
Yeah.
Marvel's Avengers.
No.
No.
No. Wow. Okay. Interesting. That one, I think I could see it, but Guardians of the Galaxy. This is where I'm thinking we're going to go.
Yes.
In a different
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I liked Groot so much. I think we know why. I love Vin Diesel and I love the little
yeah.
rabbit thing.
Yeah.
But I didn't love a lot of it.
Okay. But Guardians and Thor Ragnarok kind of exist in the same kind of creative
yeah.
space, I think.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron, thumbs down, right? Thumbs down, we're
that
all thumbs down.
That was trash. Yeah. That was with the Scarlet
Which
Witch being like,
that?
I can't hurt anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And then that man with the bow and arrow being like, come on, you got it. If I'm looking at you, I can't help everyone or something.
I forgot that yeah. she had an accent.
Yes, so did
she.
She's
a little retcon. Ant-Man, do we like
loved
Ant-Man?
Loved Ant-Man.
Yeah, great. Okay, great. All right, this is really good. Now, this is the one that I'm quite surprised that you didn't like. The Captain America movie, Civil War.
We did not like that, but that's the one Mandzukas explained to us,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was extremely helpful.
After,
we liked it more. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I liked the other one, the Winter Soldier, but
yes.
then I didn't know the Winter Soldier was coming back. And I was like, I thought we were done with the Winter Soldier.
yeah.
Okay, well, I see this. And then Doctor Strange.
Loved.
Oh,
yeah.
okay. Interesting.
Like genuinely loved to the point where I didn't like the second one because it was so different than the first one.
Okay, so that's really
yeah.
interesting because I think that Doctor Strange is just a pale imitation of Iron Man.
What?
Yeah.
No.
What? No.
Wow.
Why? Because he's so like cocky and like.
Well, I just think it feels like it's like, oh, we've seen this same kind of, I mean, not the powers, but the same kind of origin story.
I'm
just
sorry.
Felt, yeah.
Tony Stark would never sit outside a door in Nepal begging for his little fingies to get fixed.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. All right. And then finally, Spider-Man Homecoming. This is thumbs up, right?
Yeah,
that
we
liked
fun.
That. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I feel like you just, I wanted to understand fully where you are because I do feel like Marvel is best with like auteur-driven pieces. Like when someone has a very clear idea of what they want to do. I think the Russo
you
brothers.
You said a word like that I don't know.
Auteur?
Yeah, I don't auteur. Know that one.
It's like a, you know, it's when someone really has something to say, I guess. Like
oh,
an
auteur, okay.
You know,
like
a direct,
real point of
like
view.
A real point of view, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
It really is coming from them because I think like James Gunn and obviously Taika, you know, sorry, I'm forgetting the guy who does Spider-Man, but who is that guy? What is his
name? Don't
John Watts.
John Watts. Yeah, there
Lauren,
we go.
You didn't even try. Don't ask me. Yeah.
Leah's got the answers on the technical things,
got
such
it.
As names. Yeah.
But those are the ones that I feel like, especially probably going backwards, these are so much more refreshing to see because they're kind of breaking the mold a little bit. And they're like, oh, right, you can have fun in this world. And these characters can exist. And this is like a buddy comedy, Thor Ragnarok. It really is like a cop movie or there, you know, has that kind of similar DNA.
Oh, yeah. Now that you're saying that, I do see that.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I think we like the ones that have a lightness to them and a sense of humor. And sometimes the sense of humor doesn't work in some of these. Like, I feel like Avengers has some humor that's like, meh.
I think that's because it's
Joss
Whedon. That was Joss Whedon. And I think his humor is very specific to, like, Buffy and Angel.
Oh, yes.
And I think it doesn't really work where he tries to, like, shoehorn it in.
It almost feels of a time. Like, his humor feels like an early 2000s. It's like our humor has evolved or like he was doing meta. I'm going to make a statement that people will probably get mad at and say, like, I feel like he was doing meta kind of before meta became super popular. And now when he does it, it feels like, I don't know. There's something about it that just feels a little stale. Like it doesn't feel like it's going to be timeless in that way.
Yeah. And this movie seemed really fresh to me.
Yeah.
Like very funny and interesting. And I mean, partly because we're watching these in order. And so there's that feeling of like, it's catching up to the present day more and more, but like it was very funny and like just, I think that's something we enjoyed about like Ant-Man and stuff. Like the humor was like also performed really well. Like,
yes.
I was really surprised looking at this cast because not that they're not funny, but I'm saying when they were all cast in the original Thor, that wasn't like this at all. So it's like they were being cast to do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And then now Thor is like this funny character that I've grown to like, which I could
which
not have said from the first one.
Because I only like
movies.
Him now.
Yeah, it's same. So, he's not funny or interesting in the other ones.
Mm-mm. I totally agree. Like, here we go. Like, this whole, like, birth of Chris Hemsworth being, like, a funny person, which is so unfair because he's so gorgeous as a man. I once was visiting a friend, and I got to hold one of Thor's hammers that I won't spoil where it comes from, but it's from a movie you have not seen yet. And it was hard to even pick up. And they're like, oh, yeah, but for Chris, it's not because he is also.
Wow, because he's actually strong. That,
wait, yeah, so he's it's actually heavy?
Oh, this one, this like there's multiple ones.
Yeah.
But this one was like, oh, yeah, you can't mess around. Like he just delivers the goods in this movie. And I feel like actually it's weird that in the Marvel movies, and I know you haven't seen this yet, but the Hawkeye series, Jeremy Renner, after doing Hawkeye for years, all of a sudden is like a new character that's way more engaging. Same thing for Elizabeth Olsen. I feel like she's gotten better and better. It's almost, it's weird to see people get better. I think we're in a world where most people, it's a downward spiral. Like, and these characters are getting a chance to go up. You're like, oh, you found something totally new and interesting in these characters.
By the way, did you see that Vanity Fair lie detector test with Elizabeth Olsen?
I only saw a clip where she's trying to become a stoner.
No, there was that one, but there are some really good clips where she just is like so honest about people, and it's really funny.
Oh my
Ooh,
god,
she seemed really likable.
Well, like so, they bring up the Haim sisters because she went to school with them, and she and Danielle Haim, I guess, was her same age in school or something. And she's in Licorice Pizza. She's not the main girl. She's one of the sisters. And because people were like, she's not even in it. And it's like, she is in it. She's a smaller part. You're stupid. But she's not an actor. But they were like, are you a better actor than Danielle Hyman? She started like cackling and she was like, yeah, Like, but it's like, she should be. She's like, that girl's a rock star and she's an actor. Yeah.
That's funny.
But it was great. She's just like super honest and funny.
Would you ever agree to take a lie detector test as part of a publicity tour? Because I feel like it's a dangerous proposition.
It's so scary because they are asked real questions.
Yeah.
Like there's a point where she got kind of flustered because they were like, you know, challenging her on one of them. And she was like, I mean, yeah, I did see that movie. I don't, is that what, is it not, does it say it's a lie?
I would do it, but I would pass on, I would just be like, pass. I won't answer
that.
Yeah,
passing. Like, would you do it on Watch What Happens Live when they do like that?
Yeah.
What's it called? Yeah.
Because it's like fluff. I don't think they're really trying to get me.
Yeah, but you have to sometimes throw someone under
the
bus.
But you know what? Oh. But that show, you can touch. People get very upset on that show. I have experienced that if you say something about what I love that whole Bravo, I'm just gonna call it all of it, the franchise, the MCU of the Bravo Housewives world. But you forget that they are like, I can sit here and be like, you know what, Thor is a blank, blank, blank. But when you do it there, it's like these are people
that are
living there.
Yeah,
and they're like, oh, and it's hard. It's like, but they're viewed as characters.
I know.
Like now I can't separate it. It's not real.
I was on with a housewife.
Oh,
which one?
Emily from the OC.
Oh, okay.
And
not familiar.
I love her, but I was like, this is kind of crazy because they brought up stuff about Shane. Like it was just like they're asking questions and bringing up topics about her husband next to her, and she's like super cool and strong person and can take whatever. She's had like horrible things said to her on the show, but like I'm not gonna be insulting somebody or saying anything. Even if it's funny, it's like you can't do it.
By the way, I was in the Erica Jane documentary about her husband stealing all that money because Andy started questioning her really hard about did she know, and I was the guest and she's grabbing onto my hand. So when they do cut to that moment on Watch What Happens Live, it's me and her holding hands. And she was lovely. We had a great time.
That's really intense.
That was intense. Because that's a legal claim where people are injured. I'm like, I got no comment
on this.
That's
like a curious thing about Bravo. They'll dig right into legal stuff where it's like, I don't know if you can do this.
Yeah, that's rough stuff. I mean,
did you know there's a Bravo con?
Oh, yes, I did.
And they sold like 10,000 badges in like 60 seconds.
That makes all the sense in the world.
I mean, it is as popular.
I love Bravo.
I mean, it is as popular as this Marvel franchise. What I love about Bravo is for a long time, I was always trying to explain to June like why I liked certain things. Like I love Marvel movies. I love Star Wars and Indiana Jones and all that sort of stuff. And I don't think that she understood like why I would get upset about stuff or why I was into it. And the first moment where I felt like she truly understood my fandom was seeing Sex and the City 2 and being utterly disappointed by it.
Yeah.
And coming home like really bummed out and trying to like talk herself into Sex and the City 2 being good.
Yeah.
So like, and I was like, I've done this. I've had this conversation about Shia LaBeouf and Indiana Jones. Like we've been there. And I think the Bravo has that same thing where you're in your world. You're committed to these characters and this.
Yeah.
You want it.
Yeah,
that's very funny. I never thought about Sex and the City like that. I have come to terms that the movie marks one canon, the second movie starts a different canon, and that's where And Just Like That lives.
All right.
Oh, no, to me, And Just Like That connects to the first, to the show.
Right.
It
doesn't connect to the movies in a way. Although it does because
everything that the characters did on the show.
I guess that's true.
That's why I think it starts.
But
a
I just go
canon.
Like, it's the show because I love the show. I guess you're right though because their personalities have changed a lot in the years since we've seen
it. So like, I think the movie was like a perfect little cherry on top to like, you know, satiate us because we love the series so much. And then the second movie, you're like Abu Dhabi.
Yeah,
this
that's
is
crazy.
Bonkers.
That one's a mess.
This one's But we did get the lovely line. Samantha goes, Lawrence of Arabia, Lawrence of my labia. And I was the only one in theaters who cackled.
Do you feel like that was the inspiration for the entire movie? They were like, that's such a good line. Let's figure out how we get them.
Yep. Someone wrote that in a punch-up room and they're like, we're going to Abu Dhabi.
That is truly like I've done my work for the day. Like when you're writing a script, you're like, you know what? It's not going to get better than that. And
that's so good.
Go out and treat myself to my own lunch. This movie though, Thor, I believe, like when I talk to people about the Marvel world, the movies that I've subjected June to have been in the Marvel world.
I mean, that alone, you've subjected her to a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. But, I mean,
I
just
have,
your podcast
but,
I guess it's not just you subjecting her.
Exactly. And that, and those aren't movies that I like. Those are, we are subjecting ourselves to those movies.
Yeah.
But with the Marvel world, I try to be very specific with her and go, I think she will like this and that. So like Ant-Man, I was like, we can go see Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thor Ragnarok, I was like, this works. And Guardians. Those were the three that I picked. I was like, I think that this will give you an idea, a lay of the land without you being overwhelmed by it, and you'll have a good time. Because here, Carl Urban, to me, is an unsung hero of this movie. He is so funny in this movie. He plays the executioner who's taking over for Heimdall. He's in The Boys.
Oh, I love him on The Boys.
Yeah.
He's so good. And he, I think people didn't realize how funny he is. And he's so good in this. He's so funny. I mean, he has a small part, but he's very funny in this role.
He has one of my favorite moments where he puts like a cloak over his head to get on the ship. And I was like, he is truly serving Billy Zane in Titanic. And it made me laugh so hard. Even I was like, I don't know if there was, that's what they were going for, but I loved it.
Well, this movie is goofy. Like it truly is goofy. Like when he sees the Hulk, when Thor sees the Hulk for the first time in that battle, he's like, hey, we're buddies. Like it's such a... I think it's a breath of fresh air because these movies have like a, we're being serious, we're being this.
Yeah.
And the comic books were never, I mean, the comic books had serious things in them, but I think the best ones, there's a lightness to it. These are fun characters. We want to hang out with these characters. I think they have to feel like sitcom characters to a certain extent because that's the only way that we want to revisit them time and time again.
Yeah, and I think this made me like all of the characters in a new way. Like, I didn't think Loki was interesting.
And I'm into Loki now.
Yes.
Yeah. Loki. I thought he was, like, so annoying before.
But I will say this. Loki's powers change willy-nilly because they talk about how when he was a kid, he could turn into a snake or whatever. But then he, when he's all chained up, he can't turn into something else and leave. He can't, like, morph out of that planet when he's like, I gotta get out of here. You can't just fucking... vanish the way you've been doing it? That was confusing to
me. Let's get your Marvel expert in here. Marvel expert.
Did he have one of the things on his neck at that point?
No, not yet, because he doesn't get that thing until he tries to double cross Thor, and Thor's like, you've been doing that.
You sound like
an expert. I think he's a trickster. To me, he's a trickster, so I don't know if he can like move off of planets, but I think he can take other forms, but I don't think he could, like, in my mind, I think that if he... his power is making you think he's someone else. So his snake would still be caught on the wall. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like he would still be captured.
He just shapeshifts in person.
Right.
So what you see is different, but he's not able to leave.
That in my mind is how it works. But I could be wrong. Again, I'm no expert.
Illusion magic.
Yes.
I see. Okay. Well,
should we do our daily bugle?
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Oh, great.
Lauren, great minds think alike. So this is our new segment, the Daily Bugle. Beep, bop, boop, bop. Okay, so Marvel Studios signed a 20-year deal.
By the way, I like that it's beep, bop, boop, bop, but a bugle should have a different sound. Like,
it changes every time.
Okay,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Just having a nice time. Marvel Studios signed a 20-year deal with Stan Lee Universe to license the name and likeness of Lee, who died in 2018, for future feature films, television productions, Disney theme parks, merchandising, and more.
What, like a hologram?
I guess so.
Or I guess they could just use his picture or something.
I have mixed feelings on this because...
Samesies.
Because I think there's... And again, I'm not fully versed in this, but there has been a lot of talk that he has suffered or he had suffered elder abuse. That people were taking advantage of him and not treating him well and trying to move around his money. And so a lot of this has been, you know, he's become like he was already incredibly successful, but then he became even more, like he became in many respects, the face of the Marvel world because he's in every Marvel movie. He is viewed as the creator, even though that's not fully true, but he is the face. And I think his family was working against him. So now I wonder where this money is going, but it feels like it's going to the family. So now we'll have like a Stan Lee animatronic in like Disney World Tokyo going like, hey, welcome, Marino.
I don't love it.
But again, there may have been some resolution to it, but I feel like it's a very weird, there's a weird end to him. And I will say the one time I met Stan Lee, which was thrilling, I was backstage at Comic-Con and he had fallen asleep. And someone's like, do you want to meet him? And I was like, well, he's clearly asleep. Absolutely not. Like,
yeah,
you know, like
not the time.
Yeah. And they're like, we'll wake him up.
What?
And I was like, no. Like, you'll wake him up. It felt like, there was like a puppy that they wanted to show.
Yeah.
Me.
And
I felt like that one moment kind of gave me an instinct of maybe how his handlers might be treating him.
That's,
you
know,
and that's not Marvel. That was, I think, his own crew. It's like, no, let the man sleep. Let the man be there.
Yeah, he's old and tired.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really sad.
Well, if I die, I hope you guys make sure that nobody sells the rights to my face anywhere.
Yeah.
I'll be putting your image everywhere.
Well, that's like, isn't that the whole Robin Williams thing too? Like, Robin Williams has been, one of the things in his will was you couldn't use his face in anything after he had died.
Wow.
Really?
Like, yes. So they couldn't.
I'm glad that they were aware of that.
Because I think he knew that, you know, maybe left to, you know, somebody comes in and all of a sudden it's like, I think he probably lived in that world of like, I'm afraid I'm going to be like CGI'd like Grand Moff Tarkin in like the Rogue One. Like, they're going to just
and he probably
pop
would
my
be.
Face.
What the fuck did you just say? Rogue Moff Tarkin?
Well, do you,
who?
Wasn't it with, what's her face? Princess
Leia?
Princess Leia
as well. Oh. But Grand Moff Tarkin was a character in Star Wars played by Peter Cushing, and they brought him back in Rogue One. He'd been long since dead.
It's like, just move the story on with different.
Yeah, like, we don't need. Or
if they like that, I guess.
Just recast.
It's
yeah, just
yeah,
recast.
Right. Recast.
Because also that happens all the time. It's like, why not?
No one's here getting that upset about James Bond. We just switch his face. That's okay.
Right.
We call him James Bond. We all know. We're familiar.
Yeah. Okay. Well, another bit of news is that Spider-Man director John Watts stepped away from directing the MCU's Fantastic Four film after three successful Spider-Man films.
Ooh, I wonder what happened with John.
So why did he do that? Do you know, Paul?
Here's my thought. And it's totally like conjecture. As it would say in the Depp Heard trial, it's hearsay. Because I didn't even hear it from anybody. It's my own making it up. I would imagine after doing three of these films, it takes up so much of your time. And there are so many people that you have to please. And I do believe that the Marvel universe is incredibly well thought out. And every piece must fit into the MCU in a very particular way. So at a certain point, I imagine as he's addressing the Fantastic Four, there are certain guideposts that he has to hit or a movie that he has to make. And maybe it was creative differences. Maybe it was like, you know what? I don't want to keep on doing this. Maybe while my star is hot, you know, like I can go off and make my own thing. Like the way the Russo brothers went off and made like three or four different movies right after they had their good run at Marvel. Because there's a moment here to make whatever you want to make instead of going back in and working within that thing. And I think he's an amazing director and I think he did a fantastic job. But I could also see that being tiring too.
Yeah.
So I thought that as well.
Yes.
And from my research, it was like an amicable. He needed a break from Marvel, but he's also attached to do a Star Wars series. So he's just skipping down the hall from Marvel to Star Wars.
Interesting.
Well, that's actually really exciting because I could understand that being a more, I guess if I'm a director that has that opportunity, I would be more daunted by doing a Star Wars film because I feel like those have just not worked like the way that they want them to. And that like that's a much bigger undertaking. It's like,
because
the tone of Star Wars doesn't have the flexibility that Marvel has, which is like fun and it's light. Star Wars feels oftentimes heavy unless it's a TV show. Then it has like lighter moments where you have Amy Sedaris and stuff.
And probably would be a more original content for him, I would think.
Yes, I guess that's true.
He
doesn't have to work. Yeah.
New.
That's interesting. It's interesting.
Wow.
I like John Watts.
A real nerd conversation.
But by the way, can I talk about the John Watts? Everyone talks about John Watts making this movie called Cop Car about these two kids who steal Kevin Bacon's cop car. It's a great movie. I highly recommend seeing Cop Car. But there was a movie he made before this that I feel like no one talks about. And it's so, I feel like it might be up both your alleys. It's called Clown.
Clown.
And Clown is about a family. And the dad's a real estate salesman. And he goes to a house for a showing. And it's during his kid's birthday party. And his wife calls him up and says, hey, the clown didn't show up. Can you like come over and like, can you come dressed as something? So he like rummages through the house that he's selling and he finds this old clown costume and he puts it on. And then he goes to the party. It works out great, but then he can't take it off.
No,
the hair is attached. The suit is attached.
Oh, it's like the Santa Claus.
Yes. So he is now, but then the clown is murderous. And then he becomes possessed by this clown costume and he's this murderous clown and it gets so fucking dark. So it's
that
a clown
so
dad.
Scary.
Oh, it is. It like I was watching it one night. I stumbled across it and I was like, it is funny and also like legit terrifying.
That's really very scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be really upset if I put a wig on and it didn't come off. Here's our last bit of the Daily Bugle.
That's the one part that stuck with you.
I'm like, I gotta change my wig. So Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness made $31.6 million its third weekend at the number one spot in the box office, bringing its domestic total, oh my God, to $342 million. Gotta say, Lauren, have you seen it yet? No?
No.
It's fucking gruesome.
Is it?
It is a scary movie.
It's gruesome, and one character gets murdered by the means. He looks like he becomes Play-Doh. It's wild.
That's crazy. But like, it's scary, and I feel like in these movies, people just die and stuff. But you're saying
no. These are like violent deaths, and at one point, Elizabeth Olsen is chasing people through this like corridor, and she's got something on her face that I think is mud, but it looks like blood, and she looks fucking deranged, and it's like pretty creepy.
Well, I would say this. It is more of a Sam Raimi movie than it is a Marvel movie, and I kind of liked it for that because it is like Evil Dead. It is crazy big, and they push that PG-13. I mean, I can't imagine taking a kid who had seen all the other Marvel movies and then seeing this, because you'd be like,
that's like, interesting. But to me, as someone who is new to all of this, I think that's what makes this so cool, that you could have a director just make their put their stamp on it so strongly, mm-hmm. the same way Taika Waititi did. It's like, wait, they should each be a unique standalone piece inspired by a comic book, but it can do whatever. Like, I just like that so much more. That's so much more interesting.
Well, that's DC. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Well, DC is like everyone gets to go make whatever they want to make. There's a Joker movie that has no correlation to the Batman movie, and there's another Batman movie that's another Batman movie.
Oh, yeah, they don't really have like a universe. Series.
No, but I think what Marvel does really well is says, and again, I could be wrong, but they say, these are the parameters in which you need to tell this story. Like, it's got to start here and it's got to end here, but you can direct it any which way that you want. So that's what I feel like when you get somebody who has a really strong point of view, like James Gunn comes in, and I think James Gunn is the first one who comes in and is like, I'm going to make this poppier and funnier. And all of a sudden it feels very different than the Joss Whedon funny. And the Russo brothers are also having that kind of community style of jokes. It's like, it starts to be alive. And I think even Jon Favreau did that with the first Iron Man. It was like, okay, we can work within the lines here and make something actually that feels like it's doing everything that Marvel needs to do, but at the same time, completely an original voice.
Mm-hmm.
For better or for worse, that's what Chloe Zhao did, I think, as well.
Who? Oh.
Chloe Zhao, who won the Oscar for Nomadland and then directed The Eternals, which was the Marvel movie with Kumail Nanjiani and Angelina Jolie and Brian Tyree Henry and a few other people.
Yeah. Are we watching that?
We sure are.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And people have told me not to do it. And every time they tell me not to do it, I dig my heels in deeper.
That's going to be, I would really like to hear what you both think of that. You may love it though.
Interesting.
I really think you might, but it could go either way because I'm always surprised.
Well, on that note, we should take a break. If you're wondering what a NordVPN is, I'll tell you.
VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and online privacy. A VPN creates an encrypted tunnel for your data. Protect your online identity by hiding your IP address and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. I'm using a NordVPN myself. And honestly, it's very easy to use. You connect with one click to enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. It has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there, and it supports every major platform. Windows, Android, iOS, Linux, even Android TV. You can switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/newcomers. NordVPN.com/newcomers. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Link is in the episode description.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ooh, and we're back. Okay. So, Thor Ragnarok was written by Eric Pearson, Craig Kyle, and Christopher L. Yost, and it was directed by Taika Waititi, who I met at the Critics' Choice Awards.
Ooh.
He's very, very handsome in person and very, very nice, and he was with Rita Ora, and she turned around, and she, after he introduced himself, she went, "And I'm Rita!" And the way she said it... I'll never forget it.
Oh my God.
It was so funny because I was like, obviously I know who you are. But she just, it was so presentational and she was so hammered and I loved it.
Well, wasn't he having like a sort of threesome thing? Yes, I'm Googling this to make sure I got it right.
Yeah.
With Rita Ora and Tessa Thompson and they were like hugging and kissing on a balcony.
I love it. I mean,
and hey, I mean,
they are
all
three
hot and cool.
Stunning people.
They are sexy people.
So
who
hot.
Like to party, and by the way, and fuck, and I think why not, like, embrace it, like, it's nothing bad about it.
I think people who aren't sexy should do whatever they want.
Yeah, I don't agree, Lauren. I think uggos should stay in their lane and not have fun.
By the way, uggos are having a lot of sex.
But if you're not sexy, Paul, you need to have your threesome indoors. If you are sexy,
you
have it on a balcony.
And close the fucking curtain.
Yes.
But here's the thing. If you know, if the uggos are out there with their threesome, no one's taking pictures of it. Because it's not super
exactly.
sexy.
You don't want to see it unless it's on Real Sex on HBO, which I did watch a lot of growing up.
By the way, so did I. My teacher was actually...
on Real Sex?
It was no. She was on Taxi Cab Confessions,
oh.
which had that. She was one of the people that was in the back seat, and it was always so weird because she got into a very sexual conversation with the driver, and it was a very weird thing
that
to
is
know.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God! For anyone who doesn't know, because I feel like we have listeners who are younger, mm-hmm. there was a show called Taxi Cab Confessions that I mean, we were too young to be watching,
yes.
but like we did, and it was literally just like. Like a hidden camera in a cab, and people the taxi cab driver worked for the show and would like get people to just talk about stuff.
Yeah,
and
be like,
keep
"Do you like
questions.
Threesomes?" And then somebody in the back would be like, "Mm-hmm, want to hear about it?" And he'd be like, "Oh, sure."
Yeah, it's like, wouldn't you be? I mean, they're always the people that they get are always really outgoing, like kind of on their way to a party or doing whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it makes sense, I guess. But like, if a cab driver asked me that right now, I'd roll out of the cab.
Yeah, I had a cab well, I had a driver ask me the other day if I was ovulating, one, two, if I was yearning for a baby.
No.
And then for an hour from the airport to the apartment, he really just kept talking.
That is
and he had long, nasty
disgusting.
Fingies. And the way he gripped the wheel was also really upsetting to me.
Are you ovulating? What did you say?
I said, "I don't think so, but I'd have to check."
Yikes.
And then when he said, "Are you craving a baby?" I was like, "Absolutely not. No.
Are you craving a baby?
Hungry for a lot of things, but
planet?
Not a baby."
What a freak.
Yeah. Gross. Let's get into this plot.
Let's do it. Get ready.
I love it.
And Jason and Scott have both called us out for reading this whole plot out, and you are welcome to do the same.
No, I want you to set it up. Set it up. I'm here to listen.
Thank you. So Thor, who's been away from Asgard researching Infinity Stones since Avengers Age of Ultron, has been captured by a fire demon named Searcher. Clancy Brown. He tells Thor that when he joins his crown to the Eternal Flame in Odin's vault, Asgard, will soon be destroyed, according to a prophecy called Ragnarok. He also tells him that Odin is no longer in charge of Asgard, which happened at the end of Thor: The Dark World, but Thor has been unaware for years. Thor calls Mjolnir and escapes, taking Surtur's crown with him.
And I didn't like the whole spinning thing. That was not funny for me. And I was like, is the whole fucking movie going to be like this?
I liked the spinning.
Oh, you did? The second time I was like, I get it. He's spinning. No, he
but
can't
you know
talk.
Why I liked it? Because I went, okay, we're going to have a little fun here.
By the way, that's a great open. I like that open for so many reasons, because it also is calling out like a convention of these movies. Like, it isn't perfect, and I think they set the tone really great. It's like, yes, he's super strong, but he also is not like perfect. You know, like him rotating around, it's like he's uncomfortable. I love that he gets to narrate his whole beginning of the film by talking to that skeleton. I think the first joke of the movie truly is like that skeleton's mouth dropping.
Yeah.
Did make me laugh.
Yeah. And that felt like, very Disney ride sort of thing.
Yes.
Pirates of the Caribbean vibes.
But then once he drops, like that opening, I'm a big fan of like a kick-ass opening scene, like a James Bond, like pre-movie moment. And you're like, oh, I know all of his powers. I clearly understand that I'm dealing with someone who is very, like, it's that dumb thing. Like, what, are they good at their job? But like, you know, he is a very good warrior and you get to see him. And then the story gets to start, but it's such a fun, you know, it's such a fun moment. It's, what is it? That Led Zeppelin song that comes in at the beginning?
And I really liked that too. I was like, oh great. A good rock song kicking off this fight. It made me think, I did like Guardians of the Galaxy because they had fun music too. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of, you know, a little bit juxtaposed on what was happening. I enjoyed that. I will say I didn't like when they brought that song back at the end. I felt like
I have the opportunity
to do another thing. Well, see, it was better on that fight than it was on the earlier fight. But I don't know. I just felt like could have been a different song.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, while we're talking about music, I just want to say that Mark Mothersbaugh did score the film. And I think the same way with like Doctor Strange, I think Danny Elfman did Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. This idea, like, I don't know. I think that makes a big difference too, because Mark Mothersbaugh, it's Devo, and there's just a different sensibility to a score when you have somebody, again, who's not your traditional, like, John Williams. I love John Williams. I'll see him every time he's at the Hollywood Bowl, but it's going to just bring a different texture to these movies. I think
totally.
I didn't know who Mark Mothersbaugh was, so I was looking him up. He looks like a fun time.
Devo, and he did like a bunch of Wes Anderson stuff. And
what's a Devo song? I know the name, but I don't
Whip
know.
Whip It.
Yes, Whip It, good.
And that is the only one.
He also was on Yo Gabba Gabba, and he was the artist in residence on Yo Gabba Gabba, and he would draw.
You were on that too, weren't you, Paul?
I was. I loved it.
I used to babysit and watch that show a lot with Brian Posehn's son, actually,
who
I was babysitting. And I loved that show so much. And I was like, I would love to be on that.
That show was a blast. And that cast that made it, the people behind the scenes were so, like, they love making a kid's show. Like, they just loved it. And by the way, just so you know, he also composed the music for the Lego movie. He did a lot of, like, kids' shows and video games. Like, he's always working.
Wow. Oh, and he did the Rugrats theme.
Yeah.
Crash he gets
Bandicoot.
Around.
Oh, yeah, he's there.
Okay, back to the plot.
Sorry.
When he attempts to return to Asgard, however, Heimdall does not respond. His replacement is an Asgardian man named Scourge, Carl Urban, who's too busy showing off to immediately notice. Thor calling for the Bifrost. When Thor returns, Scourge tells him that Heimdall is a traitor and on the run. Thor goes to the palace and seemingly finds Odin watching a play about the alleged death of Loki, which happened at the end of Thor: Dark World. Loki is played by Matt Damon. Oh, and Luke Hemsworth is Thor and Sam Neill as Odin. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This whole thing, I mean, I feel like already I was just much more on board because of the lightness of it. The first one felt like heavy Lord of the Rings. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
This was much more interesting. So Thor sees through the king's deception, forces Loki to drop the charade and reveal that he has been ruling Asgard by pretending to be Odin for years.
Which is kind of funny.
Thor orders for Surtur's, is that what I was saying? It's Surtur? Surtur's crown Surtur. To be delivered.
Yeah, now I'm forgetting how he said it. Yeah, it doesn't sound right when you say Surtur. It.
It doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't sound at all right when I say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little bit better. I think the accent really does help. Yeah.
Surtur's crown. To be delivered to Odin's vault. Loki assures Thor that he left Odin in a retirement home on Earth, that when they get there, it's been demolished.
That made me laugh so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. A fangirl who asks for a selfie with Thor mentions that he and Jane have broken up. So that was kind of cute. They're on like a city street mm-hmm. and she's like, oh my God, where's Jane?
But I mean, the disrespect to Jane. I haven't seen Jane since first Thor. He came back to Earth. Didn't
get
find
ready,
her.
Get ready, Nicole. Did you get to see the trailer?
I saw the trailer. She's Lady Thor and I'm pretty jazzed about it. But yeah. I gotta say, again, with these fucking wigs, Marvel makes so much money.
Oh, I gotta see this.
Like, just employ a black woman to do these wigs. I don't get it.
By the way, I'm gonna say that Camille.
You were doing the wigs?
Well, no, Camille, a friend, is one of the wig people. She's a black woman. She did our hair for Black Monday and did all Black Panther.
Black Panther looked great.
Yeah, so she is, and I've worked with, she is awesome. Maybe not on all these projects. Maybe she has to go down to Australia.
They
got to
get her on all of them because
she's
Black Panther
in Atlanta too much. She's staying in Atlanta too much. But like she has done like some of the best wig work there.
Because they needed to get her on the new Doctor Strange because what's his name? The friend who double crosses him at the end of the first Doctor Strange. What's his name?
Wait.
Mordo?
Mordo. Mordo's hair.
Tell, right?
Mordo's fucking wig in this movie is so atrocious. I couldn't. I screamed. What is that?
It's weird. I guess if you don't have enough time to sit for it, or I don't know, maybe people are coming in for one day. You're right. There are some things every now and then that look janky. And I noticed watching this movie, the CGI especially looked janky. Like there are moments where they're standing in front of something and can really see that it's not a three-dimensional thing.
Oh my God,
it's
like, there was a point where his eye is ripped out and I could still see his eye.
Yes.
I was like, I see his eyeball. It's like, let's just put a black, have him close it at least. Like, what's going on?
But do you like the fact that they cut Thor's hair?
I did because
he
looked
Yes,
cute.
He looked very handsome because that wig was getting a little raggedy and they didn't, there was no moisture left.
Yeah.
It was very straw-like.
They made it
easier.
It's
all the bit frost, you know, it dries you out.
Yes. I know what that is. Okay. Is it my turn? Yes.
Yeah, we got
suddenly we got to fucking fly through this. Okay, so Loki vanishes. He finds a business card. It says 177A Bleecker. So he goes, he meets Doctor Strange. They have a fun time drinking beer and moving around. He falls down some stairs. Thor explains that they're simply trying to find Odin and will leave as soon as he's retrieved. Strange reveals that Odin is in Norway.
Yeah, I liked seeing Doctor Strange. Thought that was fun. Thought we'd get more of him, but we didn't.
By the way, what a great way to use him. Because again, this is beginning to show, like, I love when the characters meet each other and come in. Like, yeah, they all exist in the same world. And the way that Taika, or however it was written, where that he kept on fucking with him and moving around the apartment or around the house. It was so fun. And it was so active. And it made a big, I mean, for all you screenwriters out there, made like a great exposition scene seem so just alive because
you're right.
Jumping.
It was an information scene, but it was fun.
Yeah. So Thor and Loki find Odin on a cliff where he is dying. Odin gives them some personal closure, but makes a final confession. Thor and Loki have an older sister named Hela, goddess of death, who will be released from the prison he banished her to when he dies. He then turns into energy and floats away. That was sad.
It was very sad. But then also I was like, this man has secrets.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Fucking Loki's a little blue child and then gives him horns and treats him less than Thor. And then there's a sister named Hela who she's locked in a prison. Odin, you're the bad dad.
But have we seen her before? Am I confused?
Not
or
one
no?
time.
Not
I don't
yet.
Remember okay. those weird okay. little horns.
I know. She was really crazy looking.
So Thor blames Loki for Odin's death, but there's no time to argue. It's Hela, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hela, Kate Blanchett, who I had a lot of trouble. At first, I thought it was J-Lo, but that was wrong. Emerges.
Wow. Can you imagine?
I really thought it was, and it was not. So Cate Blanchett emerges and demands that her brothers kneel to their queen. They refuse. She attacks, shattering Mjolnir with her bare hands. Loki calls for the Bifrost, and Hela follows them, knocking them off the bridge in quick succession.
So Hela arrives in Asgard, murders Volstagg and Fandral, and recruits Scourge as her right-hand man. The Asgardian army, led by Hogan, assembles to stop Hela from entering the kingdom. Unbothered, Hela summons an endless arsenal of swords and spears, which she uses to impale the majority of the soldiers, ending with Hogan.
She takes the throne and destroys the royal mural above it, revealing... Also, I was like, why is the old one just here? Destroy all evidence of her. Anyway, reviewing the true Asgard, the true way Asgard built its empire, war and conquest, not treaties and saviorism. Hela then breaks into Odin's vault, and this was funny. She knocks over the fucking something that I think some man has later. That glove, that gold glove. What's it called?
It's Thanos' thing, the gauntlet.
Yeah,
Thanos,
yeah, the gauntlet.
The gauntlet or whatever. So then she revives fallen Asgardian soldiers from her time along with her massive pet, the Fairness Wolf. She appoints,
and that was scary.
That was very scary.
Love
she
that.
Appoints Scourge as her executioner. And I thought it was so funny that he was just like, he never quite says yes. He's just like, I guess this is my new job.
Yeah, right. She was like, you seem strong. Why
and
don't
he's
you?
Like, okay. Yeah. And he had a mop in his hand, which I thought was pretty funny. She was like, you know how to survive as he's mopping.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, unbeknownst to them, Heimdall sneaks into the Bifrost and steals the sword used to control the bridge.
Okay. Look, meanwhile, Thor lands on a planet called Sakaar. He fights off scavengers, but is ultimately captured by Valkyrie, Tessa Thompson, a drunken badass.
I don't know if I'd say a drunken badass. She's a fall down drunk, but then can suddenly do things. And I was like, what
I know.
Is this?
She, I didn't get
it was
the
a
intro.
Little
so
cartoony
she like walks off
me.
The like ship and then she's like, and then she falls off the side. But then I feel like she wasn't drunk again.
Exactly. I was like, if you're playing drunk, I think it would have been funnier for her to slide down that slide.
Yeah, like, wee!
Yeah, and then be like, oopsies. And then
I meant to walk down that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like there are, like, this is where I kind of feel like Taika lets people do some bits and you need a joke there and it doesn't necessarily, like, make sense if you're really unpacking it. But at the same time, like, in the movie, it's like a nice, oh, we laughed. Let's get back into it again. Like, you need those, like, moments sometimes. And sometimes I think that that's, you want to get, you need, like, you need a little take you out of the seriousness or the heaviness. It's a big, giant-ass battle. It's a lot of people are dying.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I just missed, like, some swagger when she, in between the drinking.
Right.
Like, I felt like, a good example is, like, Hans in fucking Star Han Solo. What the fuck is it? Han Solo? He's
Han
like he's
Solo.
Got like a swagger to him. Like I didn't feel like she had a swagger in between her guzzling booze. So I was like, so you guzzle and then you're supposed to be drunk, but like, where's the why are you drunk? Like, is it fun for you or does it make you even?
Right. Yeah, so he awakens to a holographic presentation about Sakaar and the Grand Master, Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, so funny.
Who's great. And the ruler of the planet and host of the gladiatorial contest of champions. The Grand Master states that Thor will earn his freedom should he be the victor. Thor discovers Loki, who arrived on Sakaar weeks before Thor, has befriended the Grand Master. So he has to go like fight in a ring.
Yes.
To the death.
Yes.
Before the match, Thor meets Korg, Taika Waititi. Did I say his name right?
Yeah.
Taika Waititi.
You met him.
An exiled resistance fighter and his friend, Meek. His hair is buzzed off as he prepares to fight the champion. Though none who have faced him have survived, Thor also discovers that Valkyrie is Asgardian. He asks her to help him escape to save their home, but she's like, nah, bitch, I'm a drink.
So Thor enters the arena and the Grandmaster's champion turns out to be Hulk, who has been MIA since Age of Ultron, not that we noticed. And Thor attempts to talk him down, but his efforts fail. So he's like, big guy sun's coming
down.
That
made me laugh so hard.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I got confused for a second that I had like made up that they already said that. I was like, wait, we've talked about this. And then I was like, oh yeah, it's like the creepy thing you have to say to him. And then he has a vision of Odin, which causes his lightning powers to surge, even though he no longer has Mjolnir. And the Grandmaster is spooked by this and ends the fight.
Thor wakes up in Hulk's quarters. Hulk can speak a little now, refuses to return to Earth, but a recording of Natasha on the Quinjet that Hulk flew to Sakaar causes him to transform back into Bruce Banner, who does not know where he is or how long he's been hulked out since
This is a very long
Banner fears
recap.
That he becomes a Hulk again. He may not turn back. The Grandmaster orders Valkyrie and Loki to track down Thor and Banner. They talk about how Valkyrie's sister warriors were slaughtered by Hela a millennia ago, and she explains why she's depressed and unwilling to help.
Kind of a cute thing with Hulk's apartment, I don't know. Wherever he lives. It was like a little his enclosure that was kind of decorated to please him, I guess. It was like red and white stripes.
He like slept in a skull, and that was funny to me.
Yeah. Kind of cute, but then Thor has to get out of there. So
but
whatever.
I really loved how Mark Ruffalo really grounds Thor when he turns back.
He's
like,
so
I don't know where I
calm.
Am. How long have I been like this?
He's like, I don't understand. Like, I feel like he's so quiet.
And I love that he was like, I'm on a planet designed to give me anxiety. I thought that was really funny because it is like very colorful. And if I woke up there, I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, so we'll zip through this. Heimdall appears in a vision to Thor and tells him that he's leading a resistance on Asgard and that Thor needs to go through the largest portal in the Sakaar sky. And they break Korg and Meek out so they can begin a slave revolt as a distraction while the newly formed Revengers, Thor, Valkyrie, Bruce, and Loki, steal the Grandmaster's personal ship.
On Asgard, Scourge has civilians rounded up to demand the location of the Bifrost Sword. They give up Heimdall's location rather than let Hela kill more innocent Asgardians. Hela and Scourge go to the cave where Heimdall and the refugees have been hiding. Wait, this was nice because Heimdall is Idris Elba, right?
Yes.
I thought he was dead.
Well, that's the thought is that he's a traitor. He left. We don't know. And actually, he is truly trying to help everybody. Like, he's an ally that we don't know. He's like, that's a part of the twist.
His eyes are so cool.
They're so beautiful. The I love him.
Yeah. So Loki attempts to betray Thor to the Grandmaster, but Thor is one step ahead of him for once and stuns him. After Thor leaves, Korg arrives with his rebellion and they take Loki to Asgard. Thor, Valkyrie, and Bruce arrive first. Thor calls Hela back to the throne room to fight. Bruce and Valkyrie and Heimdall fight Hela's undead army and in front by the enormous Fenris. And they're attacked by Fenris, right? To help the civilians escape. Bruce transforms into the Hulk to fight Fenris as Loki arrives with the rebels. And that was kind of a funny moment where he like goes like, watch this. And he like flies down and just like slaps into the fucking bridge.
Yeah, that made me laugh really hard.
I liked that. And I thought he was actually about to be dead. But then he, of course, becomes Hulk.
Hela strikes Thor across the face, cutting his right eye. He has another
vision.
Which
was pretty harsh.
That
she
was
literally,
great.
She sliced his eye out.
She sliced it. Yeah.
But you know what? You need something big like that because he's an undefeatable character. Like, we've seen him fight so many times. Like, we need to see this character get hurt. You can't kill him, obviously. But I thought it was a great way to show that he is vulnerable. Like, truly. Mm-hmm.
And so does he have an eye patch going forward?
Well, you'll see. But yes,
I guess
for some of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe he'll lightning a new eye.
You'll love, by the way, based on some of the things you've said and characters that you've mentioned so far, you're going to love how he gets an eye.
Oh, great.
Oh. Do we find out? Okay. So Hela,
you see
his girlfriend puts it in.
Ooh,
from Doctor Strange.
Is it sexy?
It's not sexy. Oh. It's good. It's fun.
Okay.
So he has another vision of his father. He tells him Asgard's not a place.
Even you guys are getting tired reading this.
Yes. Okay. So Skurge sacrifices
to remember.
Himself. Thor and Loki realize the only way to destroy Hela is by having that big fireman come. So then Sulter's reborn, and then he knocks her off a bridge. She's killed. And then Hulk's like, me fight fire demon. They're like, no, Hulk, no. And then the heroes escape on the bridge.
And they go on a
ship.
They're going to Earth, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is weird because Loki's not supposed to be on Earth, right?
They said something about that, but then Loki's like, is it a good idea? And then right when that happens, this isn't like a post or a mid credit scene, a big ship appears in front of them. And
I didn't know who that was.
Well, this is at this moment when you saw this in the theater, this is the snowball that is starting the end game of the two giant, the culmination of the 10 years of Marvel, like those two movies that went back to back with each other. which is why am I forgetting the name of them? What are they?
Infinity War is the first
Infinity
one.
War, and what's the next one?
Endgame.
And Endgame. There you go. There it is. So that, like, this is the first scene of that movie. Of
and who is that big old ship?
You're gonna figure it out. You're gonna find out.
But you knew in theaters. You knew who it was.
There was an idea. I don't know. Like, you knew that. I thought they say who they're working for, but if they don't, I'll just say it here because why not? They are working for Thanos.
Yeah.
We haven't seen Thanos in a minute.
Yeah.
Which is, like, so wild. So he's just, like, been in the dark, gathering stuff.
Working. Yeah.
I think and he's in post-credit scenes so often that if something's happening in a post-credit scene, like, it's probably
it's going to pay off.
And then the second post-credit scene is my favorite post-credit scene.
Yeah, yes. And then that's where, like, that the ship gets, you know, whatever, like, fucking Jeff Goldblum comes out and he's like, we tied, right? Everyone still likes me here?
Yeah. That made me laugh so hard.
He's like, can I scat a little bit for you?
I love that he, like, plays a piano in one of his part, like, when they're bringing him through, like, the, when he's in that chair as they're presenting their entire world, like, he's kind of, like, behind, like, a, like, it looks like he's DJing or playing the piano. It's such a great role for him.
It is. He's super funny and I like his makeup. He has, like, a blue stripe on his lip.
And then he's got blue nail polish. I love that.
And I think one thing, if you're someone who's like, should I watch this movie? I would actually say go watch this one if you don't care at all, because it's really funny. Like, describing the plot does not show any of the jokes, but that actually are what make it good. The plot, like, I found to be the least important part of this one. Like,
agree.
I was just like, it's funny and cute.
The people in it are so funny. What's her name? Rachel House, who plays Topaz.
So
funny without even trying. I love her so much. She plays what's his name's right hand lady or person. Yes.
And she, I believe, is a New Zealand actress. Who that Taika knew and, like, just lets her kill in every scene. Like,
crushes.
She's so good.
Funny.
Yeah.
It's funny because I also, like, remembered Valkyrie as being a little sterner, but I love Valkyrie's arc in this, and I think that there's some really great characters. Like, again, like, Kate Blanchett is amazing. This is a movie that also,
fantastic.
I think, focuses more on female leads without it also being like, hey, look at, like, it just sort of, like, no, the story just naturally just fits that world, which I thought was actually well done. Not, it didn't feel like performative.
And just a question. It says Matt Damon was uncredited, and it's like, why is that? Just to not spoil it or something? Like, why would it be uncredited?
A lot of the times, I think that they do that for a couple of reasons. One, not to spoil it, but then also, I think if you are in a movie, it's about pay, right? Yeah, because it's like, it's sort of like,
you
got paid only this much to do a Marvel movie. It's like, well, I wasn't actually in that Marvel movie. Like, you know, it's like the difference between, like, a favor and...
It's a loophole.
Yeah, it's a little... I think that that's part of it.
That makes sense. All right, well, this movie was not nominated for any major awards, but it did win an NAACP Image Award for Outstanding Supporting Actor for Idris Elba.
Oh,
yes. I love that. I love my Idris.
It did well among critics, holding a 93% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and Richard Roper of the Chicago Sun-Times gave it 3.5 stars out of 4, calling the performances of the ensemble cast outstanding, and Waititi's direction goofy and campy and marvelously self-referential.
The film earned $650.1 million globally, surpassing the total grosses for the first two Thor movies by the end of its third weekend. Yeah, I buy that.
I buy it too. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back with a little bit of trivia.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. Director Taika Waititi, his name is very fun to say.
It is fun.
He said in an interview with MTV News, "I would say we improvised probably 80% of the film or ad-libbed and threw in stuff." Now that's cool.
That is very cool.
Wow, it's the first movie he directed that's not also written by him.
Oh.
That is crazy. So they were improvising. Like, there's like a joke like at the end when he's holding Meek or whatever, and they're,
yeah,
and he's like, "He died, but I didn't want to leave him, and I felt bad."
Like, beep, beep. He's like, "Oh, he's alive." That made me laugh so hard.
It was really good. I'm like, that does feel improvised.
Mm-hmm. And then I think that that's like the benefit of having like a really strong plot, because then it doesn't make a difference. Like, you know, we know emotionally what we have to do. We have to go like, I mean, the movie is really simple. It's like Thor comes back from an adventure. The homeworld is taken over by his brother. They go to find his father. He gets sucked to this planet. He's got a battle to get off of it. He comes back. The planet's in disrepair, and they have to defeat the bad guy. Right?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. that's, it's a very simple plot. So even though we spent about 20 minutes like breaking down the actual story, but then you allow all these jokes to go in there, and it, like, I think it makes the movie feel so much lighter. This,
mm-hmm.
I think Thor has felt so heavy, and like, and it's like, oh, because of space, and it's this, you know, we're trying to create gods and warriors, and they feel not like that. Like, and I think that mm-hmm. like, as a reader of the comics, like, Jason Aaron wrote Thor for Marvel Comics, and he brought that. He also has that energy where it's like, this should be fun. It shouldn't be like homework. We're not really
yeah.
like, you know, I think that like Game of Thrones, not that that needed more jokes, but sometimes you can take yourself so seriously that you're like, okay, you know, just like it's, you know, we want to have fun. Eat the popcorn. Have a good
yeah,
time.
Yeah, for sure.
Here is more trivia. Thompson pitched to Waititi to make Valkyrie bisexual based on an illustration in the comic books mm-hmm. that shows her kissing anthropologist Annabelle Riggs. She convinced Waititi to shoot a glimpse of a woman walking out of Valkyrie's bedroom in one scene. He kept it in the film for as long as he could. Eventually, the bit had to be cut because it distracted from the scene's vital exposition.
That's
I got
dumb.
That she was bisexual from the battle where she was like holding focus with a woman.
Oh, I don't know if I caught that, but I feel like it would have been like, would it have distracted me that much to have someone walk out of her bedroom? I don't think so. I think I would have just been like, I'm more
interested
in
like,
this.
What were they yeah. doing in that bedroom?
And what happened over
were
there?
Were kisses happening?
Do you feel like it's that cheat? Because I think Marvel has gotten a lot of slammed, like has been slammed for like alluding to character sexuality without ever actually embracing it, right? So
yeah.
it is someone leaving a room. It is someone saying like in Infinity War, like, or in Endgame, like, I'm gay. Like, it's, but it's not like, it's not often until, like, I think the Eternals, it's really like put on display. It's kind of just like in the background a little
Who's
bit.
Who's gay in Endgame?
Well, I mean, the whole crazy thing about that is they make a big thing. Like, we're introducing the first truly gay character in the Marvel Universe. And it's just a character, I believe, played by Joe Russo. In the therapy scene, like they're in a group therapy scene, and he's just a side character. He's like, "I'm gay." Like it's just,
wow.
you know,
wow,
yeah.
yay!
Yeah,
they really
very, yeah.
have representation. Like, he's just
yeah.
some guy. I'm like, "I'm gay."
Well, now I also don't know if that's like that. If that's like Disney going like, "We're gonna promote this," and like the Russo brothers are like, "We this is not what we tried to do here. We just tried to make it normal." But it, because they put so much energy on it, they it felt like. Odd. It was like,
yeah.
oh, that's what you're talking about? Okay.
Yeah. Also, wait, when is Stan Lee in this? I remembered his moment.
He cuts his hair.
So what I thought was really funny seeing him was that his character has a wedding ring on, but
oh,
he's like
nice.
In this other world or whatever. I was just like, yeah, they also use gold wedding bands. I was just like,
well, they
is that
woke
his?
Him up and they're like, film your scene. He's like, oh.
Oh my God.
Oh
okay, well,
my
this
gosh.
Is about the song. So Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song appears in both the film and the trailer, and the lyrics specifically mention Norse mythology and the hammer of the gods. Its use in the film is a big deal because Led Zeppelin rarely licenses out their music, and Waititi had used the song in his sizzle reel for the project, which left a big impression on Kevin Feige. But Mark Mothersbaugh had asked Led Zeppelin for permission to re-record the song with a 100-piece orchestra for the movie, which the band flatly refused. Okay.
Oh, wow.
First of all, I will say I appreciate it more that it was used twice, considering how what a big deal that is. And secondly, I wish that he had been able to use an orchestra. That would have been so cool.
Me too. That would have answered your question, because I think that that second battle scene would have been epic.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
During the world premiere, Mark Ruffalo was live streaming from his Instagram and forgot to end it, so he accidentally filmed the first 10 minutes of the movie.
In his pocket. So it was in his pocket during the premiere, and people could hear the first 10 minutes. So you couldn't see anything, but it was like live streaming the movie.
But see, I don't know if that's better or worse than, like, what if you like went to the bathroom and was like pooping? Like, it's like, that's kind of right. Like, I'd rather spoil the movie and like get in trouble than like have done something really embarrassing.
Or just be like, oh my God, I fucking hate Taika. You know, whatever. Yeah. But yeah,
that's,
I think,
crazy.
This movie is like legitimately fun, and it goes by so quick. And I think also the thing that I love about this, and James Gunn did this as well, like, it's colorful. Like, this movie is, it pops in a way, like, it makes you enjoy the other worlds. Like, we got a fire planet. Then when we're on the Sakaar, like, everything in Sakaar is like that retro Disney future where it's like, it looks timeless, but it's also like, it's a little bit 60s, but it's also futuristic. I just love, it goes down to even Jeff Goldblum's, you know, blue lip. Like, it just,
yeah,
things don't look dark and dire. And I think that's the thing that oftentimes when you get into these big superhero movies, like, to make it serious, things look so muted, and that's not a Marvel problem, but that's more of just like a DC
yeah
thing.
Mm-hmm. Did we read the last bit that Hela Cate Blanchett's
character,
she was
the first female main villain in a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie,
breaking that glass ceiling. Yes,
we love
queen.
That for her.
Yes,
for us as women. Was it okay? Our segment is Chris in this. Is it Chris in this film? A big Chris is in this film. It's Chris Hemsworth. Paul, is there any other Chris, Christine, or Kristen that you wish was in this film?
Ooh, you know, maybe I would like to see, well, this Kristen Milotti, does she count? Or that's, but
that's,
you know,
that
I don't,
counts,
you
know, yes. Right, call her, I would Chris like to have seen,
I think that she could have played the Cate Blanchett part potentially. I don't know. I would like to see maybe Chris Kattan, maybe as the executioner. Maybe I would like
love,
to see
Chrissy
Everett, tennis star. Maybe she has some sort of like a Thor based tennis racket.
Okay.
You know, the people like that, you know, maybe, you know, I'm all for Chris Rock in here. Maybe,
yeah,
you know, that could have been great.
Oh, you know, all the Chris's,
you know, I like to get a lot of different Chris's, you know, and, you know, Chris's with a K, Chris's with a C. I'll go back and forth.
I love it. How about Kim Kardashian's ex, Chris Humphries?
Oh, I love it. And we have
put him in there with
Chris Jenner. Chris Jenner and Chris Jenner, you could put her in that Cate Blanchett makeup. That's a good costume for her.
Oh,
on
that
Halloween.
Would be good. It'd be sort of like a Maleficent sort of vibes. Yeah, that'd be great.
I like it. I'm all on board.
And then our next segment is a kiss in this. Was there a kiss in this film? Was there a kiss? I don't think there was.
I don't think there is.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
They don't focus enough on sex, to be honest.
Well, I mean, but isn't that a good thing, though, too? Because you're complaining about Jane, right? Like, that Jane's not back. Like, so instead of just having, like, Jane be there for a romantic lead, this movie is so confident in its story. Like, we don't need a romantic lead.
No, that's
like, we
true.
Don't
that's
need,
true.
Like, we don't need to make Valkyrie, like, and him have a relationship. Like, we, you know, we can kind of play within other things. Like, I actually think the most endearing relationship is with, is it Krog, the guy he's in prison with? Or, you know, like, that character in Thor, like, they have a really sweet relationship. Like, and I think that, and the Hulk in him. Like, I think there's, like, a lot of really good relationships that show, you know, good boundaries and respect.
You're right. I like that. Well, it's
good
time for our segment.
And respect.
Five Stack Industries. This is where we read listener reviews. Newcomers listener reviews. So we got 5 stars from Sassy Irish Lassie, and she said, "My husband hates it, and I love that. I've been listening since the Star Wars season. My husband, a big Star Wars and Marvel fan, can't stand they don't understand the plot or don't like one of the movies. It's so hilarious to me that it bothers him so much. 5 stars. So that was actually a way to get your negative review read, was to give us 5 stars, yet still put in bad stuff. So that was actually interesting.
Yeah,
thank
very
you so much.
Smart. So this season, in addition to Apple reviews of newcomers, we're also reviewing reviews from Letterboxd and then giving the film a one sentence review ourselves with a star rating. And if you don't know what that is, Letterboxd is a social platform where people can write reviews of films.
I love it.
You
I
like
love
you
Letterboxd.
On there. It feels
oh,
like
I'm
you would be
on
big
it.
On there. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I don't get into like writing reviews. I just like what I like doing is like tracking the movies that I'm watching, but then also seeing what my friends are watching, because then I know that, that's maybe something I should check out.
Oh, okay. Oh, do smart. I need a whole new platform to get addicted to? I don't know.
No, you know what? Here's the thing. You won't get addicted to it because you will only open it up like, oh, I'm looking for something to watch. And boom, you open it up and you see what your friends are watching.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Well, this is a Letterboxd review from Audrey.
All right.
I can't believe someone dead ass had to sit and animate Hulk's bare ass.
We didn't even talk about Hulk's ass, okay?
You're right.
Hulk's ass was fantastic.
It was nice.
Hulk had a fantastic big ass.
Desk squats.
Now, I did get scared thinking about his dick or whatever was happening in the front because
I'm very excited.
Well, because I thought, are we going to get some idea of what's going on? You
well,
know, like,
I mean,
Thor
this is
was
the
like,
problem with Hulk, right? This is, we. I mean, at the end of the day, it's tricky with Hulk because, you know, he's got to have a giant penis. Like,
yes,
he's got to have a
he's
giant
big.
Penis. And I would argue it would be coming out of those shorts.
Yeah, I would, you know, I would argue the same. Yeah, it was really crazy. I was glad they showed the butt. I thought that was pretty fun. And then he's in a towel, which I also thought was funny.
Yeah, that made me giggle.
Domesticated, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems very chill on this planet.
Yeah.
Because before Hulk couldn't, he didn't say very much and just Hulk smash.
Yeah.
But now he's like Hulk feel.
This is a 4-star review from Dante. I have been falling for 30 minutes. I thought that was funny too. That part where the guy was falling when Loki was falling in the sky.
Yes.
So Paul, what is your one sentence review you would give this film? And star rating while we're at it.
Marvel's first superhero comedy. 4 stars.
Ooh, Lauren.
I would say funniest Marvel movie so far. I laughed my little ass off. 4 stars.
I'm going to give it, I think, 4.5, maybe 5 stars. Ooh, fun, bright colors. Ha, 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 tee, hee, hee. Good, funny time.
We loved this one.
Yeah,
I'm so surprised.
I really liked it.
I didn't know what to expect. Well, if you would like to write a review on Apple Podcasts, we would appreciate it. We'll be picking 1 5-star review to read on the next episode and also rate us on Spotify and go rate it on Letterboxd for your own fun. You know, we're not going to read what you wrote, but that's just for you to enjoy. Paul, do you have anything you would like to plug?
You know, I want to take you both down a journey at one point. I know that you have many more of these episodes to do. But I would love to see, if you like this, one of my soft spots in superhero movies, and it's very controversial, I think, is I love Aquaman, the Jason Momoa movie, because it is like this in its insanity. But it's not as funny, but Jason Momoa is quite good. But at one point, there is an octopus playing drums.
Oh, I saw it on a plane
underwater,
and I giggled
yeah.
about that. Yes.
Yeah, this and is... there's something like fun and crazy about like this underwater world.
No, that's amazing. This is another thing people are going to be shocked by how dumb I am, but I watched all of Entourage, and they did a whole thing with Aquaman, and I thought it was a made-up superhero for the character to do in the show. And then when the Aquaman movie came out, I was like, is that from Entourage? Like, I truly was like, I understood quickly, but I was surprised that I didn't get that at the beginning. So
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I love that one.
I will say that if people like this kind of conversation, Amy Nicholson and I do a podcast called Unspooled, where we talk about good movies, and we're in the middle of our animation, and we actually are going to be talking about Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It's our first Marvel movie
which
we've ever done on the show.
Really good.
I've seen it.
Really
it
cool.
is good.
Yes.
Oh, that's
very,
great.
Very good.
Well, everyone should listen to that and all of your other great shows.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much for being here. It was very fun.
I was thrilled.
Yes.
I love
it. Thank you.
And I think this is so much, I know that from me watching it, thank you for giving me such a good one, but also so much more fun than rewatching Lord of the Rings, which I'd liked. But also, this is what I'm talking about. Let's get some more fun in these.
Yeah.
Let's enjoy these. These should be like good watches.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, thank
no
you.
Offense to LOT. No,
full offense. Yeah. If I never had to ever see anything from Lord of the Rings again, I would die a better person.
Okay, well, we're going to be back next week with Black Panther. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good one.
Was a HeadGum original.